We are Nigeria Info 99.3 and we're reaching you live from Etim Inyang Crescent. That's in Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. That's off Mario Kuala in VI. So feel free to come and look for JD.
Mama, it's Christmas.
Let them come and collect their Christmas gifts now.
Mama, she didn't give it to me. I mean, JD is not available.
You didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that. It hit me for six. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jimmy Disu.
I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch. And, of course, drop your comments there as well as we go along with see as much as we can take during the course of the show. Let's start with the Vanguard newspaper, page 10. Ondo and Pass. Tinubu summons deputy governor, speaker to Asorok.
First of all, I'd like to apologize that we didn't take the Rivers development. And that's because, to be honest with you, I need to background it a little bit more so that I'm sure of what I'm talking about. You know, it's a mystery. But I think that if I were to bet with Sherry for any other person, I will bet that 6 months down the line, the governor of Rivers State will not be called for bail. That's what my inner sense tells me. Not that I like it, but my inner sense tells me that this is a well-orchestrated plan to hand over Rivers State eventually to the APC, with the beneficiary being, of course, the man in Abuja. That's the way politicians work. So that's why we are not talking yet about that. But the Ondo impasse, we all know, things are getting to a height. I'm sure there's some infighting in the cabinet, talkless of the party. The PRO of the party who had agreed to come for an interview here at the last minute declined. He had to go and defend something, and I know what all that is. The APC is in the APC is in a bit of a quagmire because, like I told you the other time, the eventual panic or whatever it is that should the deputy governor, be sworn in now, he's likely to win the primaries, and that might not be what the party wants, the party at the center wants. Anyway, the story here says that the president yesterday summoned the deputy governor and all the actors therein for another meeting over the political crisis. And the Vanguard says that a reliable source told them that the secretary to the government, SSG, and state chairman of the APC were equally invited by the president. The meeting, the Vanguard further gathered, was called to find the lasting solution to the political logjam occasioned by the continued absence of Akeredolu in the state since his return from vacation. And this is on a day, we are told by the Vanguard, when Omoyele Sowore vowed to mobilize residents of the state for the Occupy Ondo State protest, which will take place at the Akure Town Hall next Saturday. If you have a sense of history, that is a very dangerous move. Some of us remember, what happened during the Omoboriowo and Ajashi incident back between the UPN and the MPN, when Fedeco at that time had said that Omoboriowo won the election. Mm. The first thing they did, trust my people, was to give him a label. They said his name is not Omoboriowo anymore, it's Owoboriomo. Ask your Yoruba neighbor and they tell you what that means. And the whole state was brought to a standstill. Incredible. Mm. It was brought to a standstill. And so the PDP, the MPN then had to back down and adjust the statement government. So we'll see. And so Sowore said that the process is to address the affairs of the state governance and concerns related to Akeredolu, which I identify with. You guys can't be playing Ludo and snakes and ladders with the lives of our people and you want them to sit back and say and do nothing. Of course, they should react, non-violently though. enough of the nursery school politics that we play here that is geared more towards self than anything. But the police commissioner in the state, as expected, Ashabi Abiodun, warned against activities that can disrupt peace in the state. And in the statement, he says that the attention of the command has been drawn, so they have all this PR, whatever, you know. But the man should also be having meetings with the actors and tell them not to put the place of state on fire. Anyway, campaign for democracy has threatened to drag any member of the Ondo State Executive Council found diverting state funds to the EFCC. Okay, they'll drag the member to the EFCC. Mm. Well, all said and done, His Excellency Bola Ahmed Tinubu is the chief, is the president and commander in chief of Nigeria today. That is his first title. And in that title, we expect him to uphold the law. You know, uphold the law in all things possible. He's not Bola Tinubu, the politician. He is first and foremost the president and commander-in-chief. All he needs to do, whether it hurts him or not, is to make sure that the law is upheld to the letter, is obeyed to the letter in this instance. These meetings back and forth and back and forth. There are times when you must give up and say, okay, this is not doable. But for my brothers in the APC, that is not in their dictionary. They want something, they're going to get it. In fact, by next election, I won't be surprised if all the states are under officials officials that are inclined to their thinking, whims, and caprices. We call on the president that please do not put petrol in a burning fire. Let the law take its course. Ask Akeredolu, beg, ask him or whatever it is, to please step aside and let the deputy go. That's why we have these laws. That's why we have the constitution. They were not there just to make a book fat and heavy. They're there to be obeyed, and that's what we expect of him. Hmm. Yeah, you know, and I hope he does that. Then talking about that, I also think that it might not be his duty under the Constitution, but I also think he needs to put out what I would call a sensitivity warning to all the political actors in the country so they don't bring the house down. What the Senate president did last week, the 61st birthday, and somebody actually asked, when 60, which was a round figure, it wasn't this elaborate. Why is it elaborate now? But whether it's 60 or 61, what he did, to the best of my mind, there's only one word I can use to describe it. In these current times, whether he used his money or he didn't use government funds is neither here nor there, because we do not know. But I mean, all of us know the way this is going down. But it was obscene. It was obscene. It was insensitive. And I've just made up my mind. I'm not going to be repeating myself like a bad record. Whatever we sow, we shall reap. Hmm.
Let's move on to page 8 of the Vanguard newspaper. This story here reads, PNG exit, more companies may leave Nigeria. Man.
The list of companies is becoming endless. And it's becoming worrying. Let me state clearly that, to be fair to President Tinubu, this must have been contemplated before he took over. Mm. I mean, the companies are not likely to get up and just go just because Tinubu in the past 6 months has been president. No, I don't think so. You can't hold him directly responsible. The way these things work, it must have been in the works when his predecessor was there. However, it could have been halted for a month or two. Okay, so we are ready to go, but let's see the direction in which this one is going. Once they found out and they look at the whole scenario, because these people are businessmen, off they go. Some of the companies that I know, one or two for sure, that are contemplating. When I say they are contemplating, they are being polite to me by telling me they are contemplating. They almost have gone. Hmm. And there are some others in the wings. I heard, for example, is it true that PZ is going?
I don't know.
I heard PZ is going. I don't know about Unilever. But these are institutionalized companies that have been here before a lot of us were even born. And I particularly find extremely embarrassing to this scenario a statement, you know, that was quoted, that was said to have been said by Bayo Onanuga, who was now celebrating the fact that Radisson Hotels want to build one or two hotels in Nigeria. And when I just saw it, I just fell flat on my face. That, I mean, what are we talking about? You can see the attitude. There's a lot of propaganda on Twitter. It's not propaganda. It is obvious that your country is collapsing and these people are leaving. What the propagandists should be doing, speaking on behalf of their big, big masters, is to say, this is what we are going to do to stem the tide. Whether you abuse Sheriff or Jimmy Disu from now to Kingdom Come, what will be, as long as you keep going along this path. And so there's a need to treat with seriousness. Look at the story here says that the Director General of Manufacturers Association of Nigeria, who spoke when he featured on channel, said that until the federal government takes clearly defined measures to address challenges facing manufacturers in the country, more exits would happen in the manufacturing sector. I mean, we've lost Michelin, we've lost Dunlop, so many. And they said that, obviously, we received it, that is the P&G exit, with sadness, but it is not totally unexpected, and more may happen because there is no doubt that we operate in an environment that is challenged. Manufacturing in any economy is a strategic choice. We are not talking of people who come with a briefcase. Some of these hotels, I hope you realize, don't own the premises. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the hotels, they don't own the premises. There are some top Nigerians now, especially those who those who really can't account for the money. What they do is they build the structure and rent out the place. So it's no big deal for somebody to come and tell me, oh, the Radisson is going to... No, no, no. If you look at the Radissons in this country, they don't have the same pattern. That tells you something. So it's no big deal. These are briefcase, you know, these are, when I say they are briefcase, I'm not talking about their size, but the kind of business they want to do here. One minute they are gone. So we challenge the government to try and stem the tide. Things are not looking good at all. All efforts made to keep the forex, in a stable whatever, they're failing. So what have we done? What are we doing? And most importantly, what are the optics that we are selling? A manufacturer who sits back and watches and says, okay, let's see how this country wants to turn around. And then he sees that you are buying yachts, you are buying this, you are going somewhere with 1,000 and how many delegates when you could easily have gone with 40. He's going to be saying to himself, these people are not serious. They're not building anything. The optics are very, very important, extremely crucial, both for the people and for your so-called, foreign investors or whatever we call them. We would like our local capacity built. If you build up your local capacity and your small-scale industries are functional, it attracts especially manufacturers because from there they can tap into whatever services or products that these people have. So it's not looking good. I think somewhere maybe before the end of the year or in the new year, we are going to hear that some other companies are moving out. They're jumping ship. So it's not only Nigerians that are jackpine, even some real foreign investments here. People like PZ and so on and so forth, who have built structures and have employed people, have pensioners, have whatever, been here for about almost 100 years, they're living.
You know, what's even...
Every time I talk, you don't say,
Because what's even more worrisome now is that we are experiencing fuel scarcity for no reason. At least we've not heard any official reason why there seems to be fuel scarcity now.
Mm.
And then cash scarcity as well. We're going back to that.
Mm.
Isn't that troubling?
It's troubling.
Remember what we went through when they redesigned the Naira and all of that?
Apart from that, if I look at experience all the way back, 30 years, it could be some kind of sabotage that is leading somewhere. I can't put it more than that. I mean, if you try and reason, like, okay, so you're having fuel scarcity, you're having cash scarcity at Christmas. That should prick your mind. So we had all better be careful. That should prick your mind. In this country, when certain things are going to happen like that, usually it starts from there.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to our next story.
How many fools have you said?
Because what else can I say?
Yeah, because I wish I could put a phone call through to people of my age who observe things. Sky, any of my very close friends that, you know, we keep these things going. It will put you on alert that, you know, bring out the Boy Scout in you.
But the thing is, we've been here before. Like, we've been here before. Then we seem to, you know, we found a way out of it. Now we're back to the same spot now.
Yes. But, you know, there's nothing that can be manipulated. Because if you have fuel scarcity and cash scarcity in December... What do you think could come out of that?
That's the thing. We've been at this spot before.
My advice is that whatever it takes, the government had better step up. The politicians had better stop all this nonsense they're doing, pushing our people to the wall, behaving as if we don't matter. Look at what Akpabio did. Let me quote my friend again. Ighodalo, by the way, I hope all of you have heard that Itua Godalo's brother is going for governorship in Edo State.
In Edo State.
That will take a 1 hour full-time analysis for me.
He said he's the best person to replace Obaseki.
Yes, to Obaseki. But in politics, the best person doesn't always win. Yes. But,
fact.
I don't know how streetwise he is in terms of Edo politics, okay? But that's neither here nor there. So back to what I'm saying is the politicians have gone a bridge too far in recent times. It's gone a bridge too far. And we get some reactions outside this studio, people who call you and tell you things. Of course, that always happens. So this is actually to wake up the government to say that, look, you can't continue doing this thing and expect that nothing will happen. But I also pray that what I'm thinking of, which of course I will not mention, that nothing like that ever happens.
Now, let's go take our next story. This is in The Punch, page 12 of The Punch. Why we are reluctant to prescribe locally manufactured drugs, physicians.
Yeah. Now, this is another one. Okay. This is a health page that we said, we promised you we'll be going through every whatever. And so what we have now is that lately prices of essential drugs, you know that, have skyrocketed over 100% and have practically gone beyond the reach of those relying on them for survival. The astronomical price increase has been blamed on the exit of British multinational drug maker and biotechnology company, GlaxoSmithKline.
GSK.
You see, you know, from Nigeria, and the scarcity of forex, which has driven the exchange rate over the roof, making importation virtually impossible. It's closing in. It's closing in. You know, the effect of this, I'm sure you know. Everybody should be very careful, you know. And the foreign essential drug scares out of reach for the common man. Many believe that locally manufactured drugs with the same active ingredients should naturally be in high demand and readily prescribed by physicians. This has not been the case. I know for sure that some local drug makers the active ingredient is not as much as it should be. You don't get the same effect. Even the simplest of drugs, if you're really in pain, you want to buy the imported version. Because locally, because it's not an excuse, but the reality is that the local companies have to survive. And if they were to charge full commercial rates, it would be out of the reach of the patients. That's not an excuse, but that is the fact on ground. Okay? And the point is that it was gathered that the chance of fully embracing locally manufactured drugs is slim, as medical practitioners revealed that the ineffectiveness of some remain the reason why they are quick to prescribe the imported one to patients. Okay? It says that a doctor recently on Twitter, he there was an outcry on him about the increased price of Augmentin, an antibiotic by GSK. Augmentin is well known for treatment of, what's the other one for diarrhea now?
What is that?
Typhoid.
Okay.
Yes, is what, you know. And listen to this. It says that in the social media post, the doctor lamented that 625 milligrams of Augmentin was now, Ali?
51.
Was now being sold at 57,000. Mm-hmm. Augmentin!
Mm-hmm.
As against 5,000, which he sold for earlier in the year. 57,000.
That's right.
Do you know?
That's right.
Every time I'm traveling, I pick up one at the airport. Yeah. I pick up Augmentin, I pick up malaria tablets, I pick up tablets for diarrhea, you know, because you can't get these drugs across the counter in those countries, and so you just keep them. So only God knows how many Augmentins I have now. But 57,000, it usually used to be something, okay, 5,000. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So it's not looking good. Okay, so what do you do now? How does somebody on a salary of 30,000 now buy, and I don't think any year would pass without having a Nigerian having to take either Augmentin or its equivalent. Yes, because in a year, you definitely would have something close to typhoid and malaria.
So I was going to mention this while we were talking about the cash crunch and the fuel scarcity, but
yes.
then I now saw the paper.
You now saw this, yes.
I said, let's delay this conversation to this point, because this is one of the thing that the poor masses are going through right now.
Oh, yes.
People fall ill. People would need medical help. The question is, how do they prioritize feeding and staying alive and probably taking care of their children? I mean, with a meager salary, some have lost, quite a number of people, I must say, have lost their jobs recently due to harsh business environments and all of that. When you put all of this together, what could possibly be the state of mind of an average Nigerian? And when we say average Nigerian, we're not talking about us. We're talking about the masses who at one point had been relegated from living, you know, somewhat comfortable to living precariously. Like, he doesn't even know where the next meal will come from.
Yeah, and also they are the most vulnerable.
Yeah,
because, I mean, things like typhoid also have to do with the environment, where you eat.
Very true.
Right, the environment.
Very true.
And so forth. I'm sorry, it's almost like a death sentence.
No cash, no job.
No job,
no fuel.
You can't buy medicine.
And now medicine.
Nigeria is going to go bankrupt. If you are not careful, we'll be liquidated.
Is there something that the government is not telling the people? Should they be telling us something?
Well, at the very least, the government is not setting the right example.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, the government is frivolous. They don't do things to. They don't show any signs of a reality check. Is that not your Senate president, who is number three?
Number three, yes.
President, vice president, and number three.
Yes, yes.
Look at what he did at 61. You know, I said, even when I said here last year that, remember, that politicians do not necessarily want what you want and they care for themselves. I didn't even know it would be this bad. The level of insensitivity. And remember, Sheriff, we are all in this.
Yes, we are.
Even the policemen that are providing security for them are in it. I don't know if they realize that. That even the policemen who you expect to put their own lives on the line for you are affected by this. Even the soldiers that you send to the war front to put their lives down are affected by this. The civil servants who want to do this are all affected by this. So how do you think a country would then function when you keep setting the wrong examples? The Nigerian train is headed in a very dark tunnel. So dark you cannot even see what is at its end. We will see what history has to say of us in future.
I'd really love to know how people who would normally use Augmentin to treat, you know, something. I'd really love to know, or because this is Augmentin we're talking about. There are other drugs affected.
I am shaking. I didn't know it was this bad.
Inhaler.
It's about 15,000.
I don't know how people survive now.
And I can
only imagine it.
And it's on a downward trail. So very soon, you might end up having even anti-malaria. You expect the government to react. I suggested something one time. By now, I would have expected the Minister for Health to be dispatched to a place like China and see if we can bring in drugs, generic drugs to tackle this. Nothing has been said. If we can be sure that, okay, fine, you might need augmentin, but the general hospital has a stock because it'll be cheaper because there'll be no packaging, there'll be no whatever. I expect somebody to come and tell us that kind of thing. That don't worry, we've ordered and you can subsidize that. But everybody sits back and is celebration, they're enjoying themselves, drinking champagne, feeling good. I mean, what I saw, it was so obscene, it was unimaginable.
I think we can, we have to go.
Something might have to give.
We must go.
Yes, not take it.
We must go. Thank you for being a part of this. He's back at 9.
I don't feel like coming back. Because, I mean, like I said last week, it's just bad news every day. And what is worse is that you don't see any light at this. What you get is propaganda. Look at the race today now. Oh, we are bringing in a team to this and that. The president is this and that. Look at where we are.
We have to go. We're back tomorrow at 7:30. But for now, it's Kofi Bartels on the Morning Crossfire, Lagos. Good morning to you.
The details.
The stories.
With the updates.
The number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.